Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Over the last couple years, we've had a number of representatives and state senators who have touted sports gambling, feeling like the time was right to legalize it. We've included the audience many times. So it made sense, since the state Senate, they're acting like adults, unlike what's taking place in the House, to have a state senator on who views it differently. I've interviewed John Marty a number of times over the years, but I do not believe we talked sports gambling before. And as I bring John in the conversation, I'll read a quote. "Gambling and addiction is as powerful as any opioid or other addiction." That's what John Marty said recently. He adds this. "There have been over 30 legislative hearings on sports betting bills in the last several years. They've all focused on the mechanics of the bills, understandably. Also, who profits from the bills, whether it's the tribes or the tracks, who or whom. No hearings have been focused on the harms, the economic harms, the social harms, the health harms because of it." Why do you believe you need to be that person to provide that part of the story, sir? And thank you very much for coming.
Sure. Glad to be with you, Chad. It's something that, as I said, with all those hearings, we've spent almost no time talking about the hardship of this. And there's already a lot of documentation worldwide over the years about the addictive nature of online betting, and that's a huge concern. In effect, right now in Minnesota and three of the four surrounding states, there's no online sports betting. Only Iowa has online sports betting allowed. And realistically, I think that when we talk about, there's been all this talk, oh, this is going to bring all this new money into the state, and I'm looking at all the additional costs, the mental health, the suicide prevention, the economic harm to people. And so to me, I wanted to make sure we had that. We had three new academic studies from last summer. One of them talked about escalation of domestic violence in states that have brought in sports betting. And there have been two others that talked about the economic harms and a huge rise in bankruptcy, statewide rise in bankruptcy filings, which is actually a small number of people who have the addiction, but it's huge impact on that. So I wanted to make sure that before legislators vote to legalize something, that we ought to be talking about the harm as well.
So, John, tell people what you've done so far and what you plan on continuing to do with this session.
Sure. Well, first of all, the authors of the sports betting bill are continuing to push their bills. I want to make sure that if Minnesota adopts it, that we have some strong safeguards. I think no state, including the existing bills in Minnesota, have in them put safeguards in to stop the growth of it. Some of the states that have legalized sports betting have found that calls to their gambling hotlines, including states like New Jersey, where there's already always been a lot of gambling, a lot of casinos, a lot of other things. They've had, like some of those states, a tripling of calls to their gambling hotlines. And I want to make sure that we address that, not just funding for those programs, but do everything we can to reduce the impact, the number of people who get addicted.
Okay, if that happens, if there is a significant money dedicated to building up these resources, to making them available at a much higher rate, and that's included in the bill, would you sign off and agree and vote in favor of legalizing sports betting in Minnesota?
Only if there are a number of other protections as well. I mean, what we found out, the industry always says, well, there's already a very big offshore illegal gambling, online gambling market, and there is. But they claim, oh, this will displace that, and we'll have more regulated stuff. Well, Massachusetts allowed sports bookmaking a couple years ago, and they found out it actually drove up the number of offshore betting people in the state because of the fact that as you make it eligible, if you're a 16-year-old, you can't gamble in Minnesota. You wouldn't be able to gamble on if we legalize sports betting. And if they're betting offshore, it's not like they're going to say, oh, now we can bet here. Oh, no, we're too young for that. So we're going to stop betting offshore. No, it actually has the opposite impact because of all the advertising. People get hooked on gambling and it's an industry. My concern is, and Chad, you know, the thing I think we should say, first of all, is sports betting is currently legal in Minnesota. If you wanted to bet on the Vikings game this week, you could have. You can bet with friends. You can bet with strangers. You can bet with anything. The only thing that's not legal in Minnesota is sports bookmaking. You cannot have a company that comes in and tries to profit by arranging the bets for you. So to me, I mean, I think the Vikings would all be a risky bet no matter which side you're on that. But you know, you can
that's
bet anytime.
True.
You can bet with friends, strangers, anybody. And to me, when we bring in an industry that's going to profit off of this and they encourage people to do it, that's where we see the high risk. Last year, we successfully put on the sports betting bill, we put a restriction on prop bets. And that the industry just blew a gasket, said, oh, this would just destroy the whole thing, would cut it in half. Well, it's because the people who prop betting is something that's really highly addictive. It drives people to an addiction level. And to me, when gambling addiction causes more suicides than any other type of addiction, it seems to me that we got to take a look at all these other concerns. And so, yeah, I've said I actually introduced a sports betting bill that put in the protections I want to see in there. If we do that, I said I'm willing to support it. If we don't do that, I think we should say Minnesota should learn from other states. And one other thing, they always say how popular it is. Well,
yep.
Missouri last year, they spent millions and millions of bucks promoting a sports betting thing. And it squeaked by less than 1% margin. It squeaked by. It did pass. California, 2 years earlier, they had two initiatives, most expensive voter initiatives in the country ever. It was $400 million on the two initiatives. The online sports betting failed 81% of the vote. I mean, it was just overwhelming. If it's that popular, then maybe the voters would be saying different things. But to me, I think a lot of people, hey, I want to be able to bet on something, and I kind of feel adults ought to be able to do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just worried that there's an addiction industry here behind it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let me jump in and remind folks, this is State Senator John Marty. Among the areas where he's involved, he's talking about sports gambling here. He recently gaveled in the Senate Finance Committee. That's why this is important to him. He personally cares about it, and it's also part of his responsibility. When we talk about the addiction, there's no doubt, John. There is no doubt that some people will go down the wrong way. The comeback that a lot of people will make is that we talk about other areas where addiction is possible. We could talk about alcohol. We could talk about cigarettes. We now have have marijuana if the apparatus ever gets set up by the Walls administration. I'm putting the over-under on that in about 30 years, if that ever gets done. So the libertarians will say, give us this opportunity, have the money set up to help these folks, but instead of just the two of us striking up a bet, or my producer and I striking up a bet, let's have it within the state, let the state prosper from it, and let's just include it. Instead of it being behind the scenes, make it out front and let states profit. It's not going to solve all our budgetary issues, but if it can drive more money to help us out, let's be adults and do that.
Right. And to that, a couple of responses. First of all, as chair of the Finance Committee and the one that has to put together a state budget, everybody's been talking about how much money this is going to bring in. The bill they had at the end of last year gave virtually no money. None of the tax revenue from sports betting was going to the state. Some was going to the tracks and the tribes and other gambling operations, but virtually nothing was going to the state. So I'm concerned about the higher state expenses for mental health in the schools and stuff like that, addiction work. All of that stuff costs a lot of money, and the bills are not providing money. So I'm worried about the cost to it. And the second thing about it is that this is so much a thing where if we put the safeguards in, as I said, I'm willing to do it, but they don't want to put the safeguards in because it won't make as much money off of it. And to me, that's the issue we have to look at. It is very serious, and it's huge numbers of people who do it. The studies have always shown, in this latest one showing about how many more bankruptcies states have after they legalize it, they said there was a 25 or 30% increase in bankruptcies. And I know even in the states with the most gambling problems, there's going to be 5% of the population or so who have addiction. But that 5%, so many of them go off the deep end with this because the industry, they prey on them. They actually have, if you're a big bettor, even if you don't have a lot of money, the industry knows how much you have because they have to file all these things. They keep close track.
Yep.
They give you a VIP treatment, and they hire a concierge who will come in, and right when you haven't bet for a couple of days because you had a big loss or something, they'll come in and offer you more free bets. They offer you prizes. In other words, they're courting the people who are most at risk of falling off the table.
Let me jump in, John, because you're making good points. You're making points that people right now are embracing through our text, and others are detesting. You know that's a part of the process.
Right.
You mentioned with the Senate Finance Committee, well, I need to ask you, the governor unveils his budget today, and one of the key parts is lowering Minnesota's sales tax for the first time in state history. It would be lowered by 0.075% across the board, while also expanding some previously excluded services. Senator John Marty thinks what of this proposal?
I think it's worth looking at. I think it's very much. The governor, as he said when he proposed his budget, and today is the first day we've seen it, he said that this is the first step in the process, and I agree. I mean, I got colleagues of both parties in the Senate and the House, if they ever get organized. We have all those folks are going to be having their say in it, too. And I'd take it the way the governor said. It's the first proposal out there. We're going to all respond to it. I think expanding it and cutting the rate may make some sense. But we'll be talking with colleagues and debating it across the aisle and internally in the Senate and in the House.
Speaking of the House, you guys are functioning. The House is not. Your fellow Democrats in the House took the oath Sunday in secret. They, because of a fellow Democrat who shouldn't have been running for a seat and found out he was not eligible, it's 67-66. The Democrats and Secretary of State Simon are saying, guess what, it's not a quorum. The Republicans are saying it absolutely is. They have questioned whether they even seat Brad Tapke after this judicial decision. Lisa Damith is acting like, hey, once I'm the speaker, I'm not giving it up. What bothers you most about what's happened in the House, including are you bothered by the fact your fellow Democrats are not showing up for work?
I'm glad to say the one thing I can say here is in a bicameral system, House and Senate are different, and I'm really proud to be part of the Senate and really pleased that we came up with a bipartisan agreement. And I think that says a lot. And I do hope, again, now the House stuff is all in the courts and everything else. I very much hope that regardless of the courts, that both parties work together and come up with an agreement. It's not easy to do, and both parties want everything they can get for what they think is fair. But I'm just pleased the Senate did a better job at that, and I hope the House can do so soon because we got a lot of work ahead of us.
I want to give you credit to the Senate, but I do want to follow up. Do you think your fellow Democrats should be at work today?
I've talked to some, and I know they are working very hard. They're meeting with constituents and so on. And I understand both the I don't care to get into the House's stuff because I'm just disappointed that both parties cannot work out a deal. And I understand both parties think the other one's doing it wrong. But I'm glad they're working on trying to do it. I hope we have an agreement in the next few days. The Senate had to fight those out. I was involved in the negotiations. I'm very pleased both the Republicans and DFLers work together. I hope the House can do the same.
John, thanks for your time. I appreciate it, sir.
Good to talk to you, Chad. Take care.
State Senator John Marty. Let's pause right here and get your feedback. What do you think? You can talk about the budget, too. You can talk, go back to the House, the Democrats, Republicans. We've talked about that a lot. But most of the conversation was about sports betting. Do you agree with what John said? Do you agree that there needs to be a notable amount of money allocated for folks who are prone to addiction, who will face that? Are you more of the kind, look at the money that you can bring in? Although, I think he's right. I don't think it's quite as much money as a lot of people suggest. But I also think on this one, I'm fairly libertarian, and I think we should be allowed to make these decisions. Dave doesn't see it that way. We can chime in, but we'd like you to also give us a call. Give us a text. 651-461-9226.